Hello and welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Lake Show. This is Dr. Paula Lake. Happy to be here another day. I'm going to be talking about a topic that for me is something I could say that I work on with people. It may be a defining feature of what I work with people, and I'm quite sure that my guest here today would share the same experience. Her name is Mikey Flynn. She is a registered clinical counselor, someone who's been working in private practice and had a special interest in working with people who've had and been through traumas. I myself have worked with trauma, and today our topic is going to be post-traumatic stress disorder. Just a little background about Mikey Flynn. What I found interesting is she's got a history of doing a variety of careers. So this is a kind of a continuation of a career that she started doing some counseling prior, but she'd also been a teacher, a public school teacher in the past, and she was also a professional touring musician. And personally, I find that very interesting because it tells me, Mikey, that you are very well-rounded. I'm so happy to have you here today. I've been looking forward to this talk.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so great. And, you know, I always, one thing I find interesting is because I've had several counselors or people with educational degrees come on that have changed their careers. And through the course, I have one friend who got her PhD and she went into finance, not even 3 weeks, and
wow.
She moved right into finance. And so there's stories. So I always find that interesting. And I think it's nice because you can bring other experiences to the table once you've moved into the world of counseling from being a traveling touring musician. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, it definitely helps me to connect with a wide variety of people.
I would imagine.
I've had a bit of a meandering road,
yeah.
But I'm really grateful for it. I personally wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
I feel like although I love clinical counseling and this feels like home right now,
yeah.
Knowing myself in 10 years, who knows what I might end up doing.
Maybe picking up the guitar again.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, you know, I think that's beautiful. Those are great stories. And I like sharing them also because I think it breaks that concept that people have to stay with the same career for the rest of their life. You know,
we can
reinvent ourselves. And I know of many people that would actually encourage that in life we have to kind of sometimes take a little look where we are and make a change, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things you and I have talked about and I'm very interested in is post-traumatic stress disorder, but more importantly, I think what I am always interested in is post-traumatic growth. And because it's we have so many assumptions tied to trauma and what the consequences are, I think it's important for people to see it differently.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just get a little bit of information just about your experience of you've worked with trauma. I know it comprises a portion of your practice. Can you talk a little bit about trauma and what your thoughts are about how we have been viewing trauma traditionally, historically?
Absolutely. So in my experience, most people in life don't make it through completely unscathed. Most of us go through some traumatic events. And the word trauma is a little scary for folks sometimes. So we can talk about it as adversity or challenging situations. But it's not just because we go through a traumatic event doesn't mean that we're going to have post-traumatic stress symptoms.
Right.
If we experience that event and we have the proper support and a good amount of time and our bodies are allowed to do what they need to do, whether that's shake or cry or run, whatever they need to do to process that trauma in the moment, we're often okay. And something
yeah.
that on paper might seem devastating, people can be all right. And then there are other events where we go through them or a series of events, cumulative. And for whatever reason, we're not able to actually process them at the time. And so I think that things I sort of describe it as being like sticky. Mm-hmm. Those symptoms that show up later in life are just that trauma is just kind of sticking around and needs a little extra support and attention to process now. It's part of what I love about doing trauma work. Yes. When people find out that this is what I do all day, they often go, oh, I couldn't do that all day. But what's amazing is that things that have happened sometimes 40, 50 years ago for someone that they have just accepted as, oh, this is just the way life is now.
Yeah.
It's not true. Yeah. We can heal from those things. And that heaviness or that darkness, it isn't just part of that person. It's something that they can actually let go of.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I think it's important for people to understand that because our belief system around trauma can play into how we respond to it. And you know, if my only thoughts about going through a negative experience is that it should never have happened and that I'm never going to, nothing good can come of it. And if I create a narrative that is very restrictive as to what's possible from this experience, we're creatures, I think, of we can create our own realities in many ways. So this is really important for people to understand what trauma can look like. And if I can clarify too for listeners, you know, there's different variations of trauma. They can range from life-threatening trauma, but it doesn't have to be a life-threatening trauma. Trauma can be the loss of a relationship. It could be the death of somebody. It could also be changing jobs. It could be COVID, right? Yeah. It could be the impact of spending many periods isolated in a home and not being able to go out. One way that I've looked at trauma is there's often a before and an after, and something changes in us when we've gone through that experience. And my hopes are always that it can change us for the positive as well. So that's clarify. Yeah.
It's important what you just said that if we have an idea that somehow experiencing trauma, there's a deficit after, or there's a brokenness or a weakness, then it can be really difficult to heal from that if that's our perspective.
Absolutely.
And I, at least for me, over the last number of years, that seems to just be what's in the cultural milieu about trauma. Mm-hmm. Like you see movies about people who come back from war and just fall apart. Yeah. And that's sort of the picture of there's the before and then there's the trauma and the after is always terrible.
Yeah.
And that just hasn't been my personal experience and that hasn't been my professional experience. But I agree that there is this, what we see around us definitely impacts our own view of what's possible after trauma.
Absolutely. You know, as you were speaking, I was just thinking about movie theaters. We watch many movies and I thought most of the movies we like to watch are about trauma when you actually stop and think about it, an abandonment, a divorce, an abuser,
Exactly.
I have a partner who says if they're not killing each other, I'm not interested, right? So it's like there's some kind of it could be anything, but actually one of the criteria I think for a good story is a transformation of the character and that who they started with is not the same as who they ended with. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the element and piece that inspires us.
Yeah.
Is when we see someone, a positive, something positive come out of something negative, which is that how we're defining, how are we defining post-traumatic growth for people that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I want to be clear that I'm not suggesting that somebody has to go through trauma in order to evolve as a human being. In my perfect world, good nobody point. Would ever have to go through that.
Yeah.
Right? Just a little caveat. However, if we are going to go through these very hard times, and especially if they've already happened in the past, there's nothing we can do to change the fact that they've happened.
Yeah.
We can use tools, strategies, supports, relationships to start to make meaning out of what we've gone through in order to have not only a happier, healthier, bigger life for ourselves, but often a beautiful impact on the people around us as well. Mm-hmm. That it doesn't have to be this dark, heavy thing that we carry for the rest of our lives. Of course, it's terrible when we're going through it, but we can sort of turn that, it's almost like alchemy. Yes. We can turn that lead into a really golden life if we choose to do that. So for me, post-traumatic growth means that yes, a trauma has happened. However, we've chosen, usually with some support, to use that as a springboard into learning and growth so that we end up better than we were before.
Yeah.
It's like Leonard Cohen has that song where he talks about that the cracks are where the light gets in.
Yeah.
And I really like that idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I think that is ultimately one of the things, as much as I've gone into the profession of psychology and I work with police officers who encounter trauma through the course of their day, I certainly understand it from a variety of levels. One of the very early concepts when I was really young and looking at trauma and thinking about trauma, but instilled upon me, and I was very fortunate to have that from family as well, that there's always opportunity in crisis. I know there's an Asian saying, there's opportunity in crisis. And you know, the question is for people is how do they end up seeing it? And because I have seen situations where people are racking their brains thinking, how can I get something positive out of this very negative thing? And I think it would be helpful for people to even understand what does that mean? And just as a reflection on one thing that you said about growth and self-development, I agree, we do not need trauma for growth, but I would, if in my personal opinion, I do think we grow more, a large part of our growth can happen after trauma.
Definitely.
You know, it humbles us, it teaches us, those are experiences. If we started with naivety, we will later be forced into a world of recognizing realities that perhaps we have not recognized in this world, you know, so that those changes, I think, sometimes are more thrust upon us. They may
yes.
not, we're not asking for them.
No.
You know, and I think when people are going through that phase of trauma, it's hard to see that. And I, you know, think it's important for people to understand that.
Yes, I would never suggest any shoulds. I try to avoid shoulds, period.
Of course,
but
yes.
Certainly
yeah.
that somebody somehow should be trying to make a silver lining while they're in the middle of the trauma. I say, oh, if you can just get through it, you know, you win. And then we can talk about how
you
to use resilience to turn it into some gold. But in the middle of it,
it's hard to see it. And to normalize that it is hard to see it, not to pressure yourself to think
exactly.
of it any differently than you do. But even just to hold that knowledge in your head and think, okay, I can't see any value of this right now. But maybe later, and maybe as I process this, I can come to discover something of value for
yeah.
myself in there. So yeah. tell me about some thoughts you have about how we can start to nurture or work mm-hmm. towards some growth within ourselves after going through adversity. What thoughts do you have about that?
Oh, I have so many thoughts. Well, I think that one of the main ways that we can start to shift this for ourselves is to start to become aware or mindful of how we talk to ourselves about the trauma mm-hmm. and about ourselves.
Yes.
So these are the things you might notice. This is how you talk to yourself by hearing what you say to other people.
Yeah.
But this is more what we say to ourselves in our private time, in our quiet time. And so if you notice that you're saying something like, I'll never be as good again, or I'm broken, or those kinds of statements that are, it's not that they're mean per se, but they're certainly limiting.
Yes, yes.
They certainly are keeping us in more of a stuck place.
It's closing off any sense of opportunity for self. And I would say absolutely, that's a limiting belief that blocks us.
Yeah.
And so that's not, really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not so much that although I love affirmations, it's not so much that this is like a list of affirmations. This is more, if you can imagine how you might talk to your best friend, or how you might talk to someone that you really, really love and believe in about this type of situation, just try using those same words and phrases to yourself when you can. So, and if positive feels too far away, don't worry about it. We'll just aim in baby steps.
I remember one person I spoke with, and we were like, aim for neutral.
Yeah,
aim for neutral, because it's every step of the way. And you know, you'd certainly touch on the fact that we do get riddled with much more self-doubt. You know, any arena of, if we've had confidence in the past, it can get at the core really of our confidence about who we are, and maybe even our worth, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes even our identity can really shift when we've gone through something traumatic or some things.
Yes, yes.
Not always one incident.
Yes, sometimes many.
So, in terms of how do I go from a place of deficit to a place of growth, at least in mindset, one is how we talk to ourselves, for sure. One is how we talk to other people about it too. Because sometimes if it's public at all, or people know about you, they might ask you, like, let's say you're going through a really difficult disease situation. Like somebody might be going through a cancer, journey. How we talk to other people about it really impacts how we think about it ourselves. So for example, and I don't mean to come across as Pollyanna.
Yes,
so
yes.
Remember, this is, I'm giving extreme examples to try and make sense, but
absolutely.
If you need to pull it back, no problem.
Yes.
Well, I'll give you a personal example.
Yeah.
Something that I was taught from the time I was really little, primarily from my dad, is he says, life is an adventure. It's an adventure, which is a very neutral statement.
Very much. Yes.
Right. And so I heard that so many times, that even when I'm going through something that's really hard, if somebody asks me, hey, how is that thing going? Or how is studying for that exam going? Or whatever hard thing, I'll say, well, it's an adventure. It's an adventure.
You know, I will be honest, because that has been my phrase, has been, it's an adventure. I completely relate to that one. I've always thought of, or my other concept has been, it's a journey. We're traveling through time, or if we want to call it that, and getting a taste of this adventure that we're walking through, with unknowns and unpredictabilities, with even some of the shadow parts of it, and the exciting, friendly, warm parts of it. So it's a different concept about life when you're looking at it through that lens, right?
And like you mentioned with the movies before.
Yeah.
If I am the hero of my own story, if I am the protagonist, well, if it's going to be a good story, there's going to be some challenges.
Yes.
There's even probably going to be some really, really hard times.
Yeah.
I might even call it trauma. Yeah. But that's a good story. That's a story worth living and worth hearing, is we have our people that help us along the way. We have the mountains we have to climb, and dark forests we have to go through. Otherwise, it's not a very interesting story.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I have a personal belief that people can take if they like, that our capacity for all of the feelings and all of the experiences, it really grows when we go through the hard stuff. So if you think about a line you know, like life just neutral, nothing good or bad ever happens. When those really hard things happen, we grow our capacity so that as we come through them, we have the equal capacity on top too.
Yeah.
So the more we know what that feels like to be in those despairing places.
Yeah, absolutely.
The more we're ready for presence and joy. Yes. And connection and letting things go. I think that we get more all around.
Yeah, you know, one of the pieces is that I think, and you're touching on things, and so you're bringing things up for me, but one of them would be the fact that often we don't want to have negative feelings, and I appreciate that we want to seek pleasure, we want to avoid pain. That may be a primary driving force. But having said that, one of the things I have experienced, seen, witnessed in many people through this journey of mine and through my course of work and in my practice is that sometimes if we reject certain feelings and we deny them and minimize them, and it could be even feelings related to trauma, could be feelings related to a negative experience, that it also deadens all of our feelings, that we're not able to selectively pick the feelings and adopt them and deny other ones that are in our existence. And that what happens is it dampens everything. But if we actually allow ourselves, I think there's a difference between perhaps depression and grief. But if we allow ourselves to grieve or to sometimes to experience some of those more painful but necessary emotions that are a reflection of letting go, that then it opens the door up to feel positive feelings even more so. And, you know, I'll give you one example that of what I've known as post-traumatic growth. Rona Jevney, she was a researcher who studied hope in cancer. And one of the things she really, and I know there's been multiple studies that have looked at people who have gone through cancer. And of course it is scary, and they will go through all the range of emotions that would be, you know, that would surface after going through something like that. But also the other reports that have happened are people that have enjoyed things more than they ever have enjoyed in the entirety of their lives. So in the midst of this incredible, scary, vulnerable place, they also start to appreciate certain things in their life like they never have before. And it could be the food, the friends, the security, nature, things that we take for granted. You know, and ideally, we don't have to go through cancer to have that kind of experience. And but I still think they are our teachers, and they it gives us that opportunity to learn. But and when they've looked at that, also they found that people that have hope actually live longer, and their recovery rates are better. So there's also that plus side to it, is that if they're able to nurture some of those positive feelings. So that would be one example of post-traumatic growth, I think, is in the midst of the trauma of you know, worrying whether you're going to live, you can create a new appreciation that you may never have had over the things that are blessings in life, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And also I've seen when people have gone through trauma, like people returning from war or sexual assault survivors, there's not only the growth that happens within them, but they can also, I should say, and they can also choose to turn around and help other people who are going through it themselves as well. Yes. There's an ability to connect in such a deep and profound way with other human beings.
Yes.
When we have gone through trauma and healed to the best of our ability, yeah, and are on the other side in the growth place, we have the ability to be there for other people in a real deep way.
In a profoundly different way. I remember when I first started my practice, and when you have limited experience, you're still launching into the profession. You have maybe even minimal of experiences of your own to draw from. And through the course of many experiences and life of living different types of adversities that you overcome, what ends up happening is your level of understanding and compassion for people increases. And I think that is a post-traumatic growth phenomenon, that we can feel more for what people go through. It takes us away from that place of invincibility. And one thing I learned in my life that I will never do is never say never, because when I've said never and then I'm going, oh my God, here I am. And I was arrogant enough to think that that couldn't happen, right? So we get humbled by those experiences. I think what happens is it starts to eliminate the separation between us and others. And we can start to see in others ourselves in others. And I really feel that in the lack of experience, if you even look at when we're very young, not only is it hard for them to relate if they've not had certain traumas, but it is also hard to have that kind of compassion. And, I know that it's something that we can cultivate over time through our own experiences. I don't know what your thoughts are about that.
I agree. And just like we said at the beginning, of course, people can cultivate compassion without trauma. However, trauma often provides us with a crash course in a lot of these things, whether we wanted to learn or not, and compassion to be able to feel for what other people are going through, to resonate with what they might be feeling.
Yes.
And I was going to say there, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought because you said something that made me think of that. With compassion. It becomes a lot easier to let go of judgment of other people.
Yes, absolutely.
Like you mentioned in that situation, I would never... that's what you think.
Absolutely.
Until you're in the situation.
Yes.
And you go, oh boy, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I understand how folks make these kinds of decisions, or how they might appear from the outside.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a crash course in compassion.
And
I also think it makes it easier, first of all, to be very clear about priorities, easier to say no to things that don't serve us. But it also makes it easier to, how can I put this? There's some clarity around what's important.
Yeah.
And the things that maybe before were scary aren't that scary anymore. When you've gone through and survived and grown from these really big adversities, a lot of things get easier to say, oh yeah, I can do that, or I can handle that, or I can try that.
You come to recognize, that's an excellent point, because you do come to recognize that you survived, you've gotten yourself through an experience, and that you can go through, you're able to survive other experiences, and you're less fearful to encounter them. I think that's a really important point, because my concern sometimes is that what we teach our children is that we need to prevent them from having any adversity, and that through the course of overprotecting our children, they actually lose confidence in their ability to face adversity or to encounter a different experience, or they'll become more fearful of taking any kind of risk.
Definitely.
So that is a very, very important aspect of it, is we learn how to become resilient through adversity.
Exactly. Yes. That's they come together.
They come
you
together.
You don't get to have the one without the other.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. One of the things for me is in any kind of adversity is asking questions. I don't know what kind of process you do to help your clients in the direction, move to in the direction of post-traumatic growth. You know, one that I might do, for example, is ask the question is, what can I learn from this experience? And especially if sometimes we re-encounter similar experiences, you know, we keep meeting an abusive partner or we keep encountering the same one. I would almost argue that there's post-traumatic growth waiting to happen there. It's just waiting for you to discover. But I'm wondering what thoughts you have about that and moving towards
people towards that. Because partly to me, there's three parts of how we go through life. You know, we all stumble forward in the same way. There's events that happen, and there's nothing we can do about that. That's the event. Then there is the meaning that we make out of that event. Doesn't have to be true, if there is true, but it's true to us. And then there's the feelings that we have that are related to that meaning in that event. So the event, let's say there's nothing we can do about it because it's in the past, but we can choose what kind of meaning we want to make out of that event. So for example, let's say we have a young person, maybe they're 10, and maybe they were bullied when they were in school. And because they were 10 and they have a 10-year-old's brain and 10-year-old's feelings, they made a meaning out of that experience that says, I'm a loser, or I'm not likable. That's the meaning that they made.
Yeah.
And so by the time they are chatting with me, if we look at it together, they might be able to come up with a new meaning. For example, perhaps now with an adult's point of view, they see that that child was living in a very abusive household and was scared and hungry and lashing out at somebody that they thought was weaker than them. And it actually had nothing to do with the child that was being bullied. They happened to be wrong place, wrong time, but it was not about who they are as a person.
Right.
If they are able to make a new story or a new meaning about that event, then those feelings that they have every time they think about that event can also change. So it doesn't have to be this, like we talked about earlier, this identity heavy, dark thing. And I'm describing a process in a very tiny example. It takes a bit longer sometimes.
It can simplify it, but I know what you're saying. So
yeah, so to change the meaning, the kind of questions that I ask are things like, maybe as their adult self, if we can take a look at it, what we might think now from this perspective. Sometimes we can take a bird's eye perspective. Sometimes we think about writing it in a book, like if our life is chapters, how are we going to make the conclusion of this particular chapter in such a way that it works for us?
I like it. It's like writing your own movie script of sorts, you know, and how do you want that narrative to conclude, or what do you want to become as a consequence of that narrative? I like that. Yeah. So you're really working with them to, and I know that it might seem oversimplified for anyone who's listening, because I want people to understand that that is ultimately the goal. And when you are working with someone, by the sounds of it, certainly it sounds like we're in alignment in that way, that there's a process in between.
Yes.
So you don't just get there. And that's one thing I want people to understand, that we don't just go through a trauma and then suddenly start changing the way we think about ourselves in positive. Sometimes it requires an intent. One of the reasons that I try to encourage with that question is, what can I learn or where can I grow from this? Is because it implies that this might require a little bit of time, and you might need to do some work on it. So when you're discovering that somebody has come up with a narrative, that, you know, they might not all automatically take on that new narrative.
No.
But the learning opportunity is to understand and work through to get that narrative.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there is no specific time frame when we're dealing with this, right? It could be for depending, you know, when I look at sometimes we have simple traumas, some we had a fairly, good life and we've had one major issue that we've had to encounter, I think the more complicated the trauma, when we've had a repeat of traumas, if you've been bullied extensively in childhood, you know, that belief might be a little thicker. I remember Lee Poulos, a psychologist, talking about the thickness of a belief, right? And it can, the thicker it is, the more work you may need to do at changing it. But that is an important part of it.
I think the bottom line for me, honestly, because there's many ways that I'm going to support somebody in healing trauma, number one, and then finding growth and new meaning and shining out of it. But the bottom line is that it's not a sentence. It's not a foregone conclusion that because somebody has gone through this really hard thing forevermore, they're stuck. I really don't believe that. I think that with support and with work, so you can do work with a therapist and you can do work on your own. You can do work in a group, but if someone is willing to do some of that work, it's not a sentence. We can absolutely turn it into something that is supportive and positive and makes us better than we were before.
Yeah. I agree. And I think one thing maybe we could touch on is the situations where, you know, I think there's going to be some of those where people really struggle to think of something positive that comes out of a situation. And you know, when you've seen a lot, and myself working with police officers who've seen a lot of death and dying, and you know, I think when we've been exposed repeatedly to certain situations, and certainly when you look at all the stuff going on in the world right now, you might wonder, where is the growth in this? I certainly have a lot of compassion for that. The fact that sometimes we are humbled by how much is out there. Mm-hmm. What's your thought about people when they get in that stuck place? Or, you know, an example would be someone that's lost a child and to death. You know, we brought up an example of potential post-traumatic growth just before we talked, or I can't remember whether we mentioned that. America's Most Wanted, the host of that show, had in fact lost his child, and used that as a way for him to start to advocate and to catch the bad guys, as he calls it, so that, I think it's John Walsh, is it?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So that you know, people can, it won't happen to other people. I don't know that an experience like that takes the pain away of losing his son.
No.
But what it does is it gives a purpose. And I think sometimes that maybe, it's like, it may be a bit of a puzzle to find what that will be for you.
Yeah.
But that is a really good example. I don't know what thoughts you have, and there might be other situations that you've run into where people are.
Yeah, it's not that all of this work necessarily takes away the pain.
Yeah.
But we can shift it so that, like you said, it's either motivation or purpose, that we can use it as fuel sometimes, even though it's a painful fuel, to make a difference in our community, or like John, in the world.
Yeah.
And sometimes too, I know with a lot of athletes, some of them that end up in accidents young or with diseases young and they lose limbs, some choose to stop participating, but some, they use it as their fuel to be even better.
Yes.
Even faster, even more amazing at what they're doing. So it's not that it always takes away the grief or the pain, but it can become a bit of a fuel, so that it has some sort of meaning. It wasn't for nothing.
Absolutely.
If that makes sense.
Well, yeah. I know that, you know, right here, there was I just found an article. They were talking about different variations of post-traumatic growth. Mm-hmm. One, as you mentioned, it might be presenting new, embracing new opportunities in your life. You may yeah. have improved relationships out of certain adversities, maybe mm-hmm. a heightened sense of gratitude for life, especially if you've gone through a life-threatening experience. Mm-hmm. Maybe a greater spiritual connection, right?
Definitely.
And greater emotional strength. There's a couple that I thought we could bring up, and because for me, I find people who are feeling like they're swamped and with their feelings of grief or distress over a trauma, they're struggling, and they might be listening to this and going, "What can I learn?" Let's use some examples. So for example, COVID. And here's the question that I use, which is, what can I learn? Mm-hmm. And even through any experience, what I need to learn might be, we might need to dig a little bit. So COVID, we've had to socially distance. People have not been able to socialize with loved ones. Now, I'm going to make some exceptions. We're not going to talk about didn't see your dying father. That would be another story, but let's say regarding the struggle of not having been able to go out. I know in some instances people were getting fed up and getting really upset about it, mm-hmm. Sometimes even rebelling and going outside. Mm-hmm. So I ask, what can we learn from this kind of adversity? What is the teaching inherent possible for us to learn in an adversity such as COVID? And I don't know what thoughts you come up with, something like that.
Well, I'm reflecting on my own experience as well as clients.
Absolutely,
While you're asking that, there's a lot going through my mind. I think one thing that, I'll speak for myself. This might resonate for people, might not. But for me, one of the main things I learned from COVID is that I have a tendency to be excited about lots of things.
Yes.
And so before COVID, I did not do much resting. I was pretty darn busy.
Yes.
And I didn't feel overwhelmed all the time. I felt pretty happy about it.
Yes.
But I didn't realize how much my lack of rest and my lack of like self-care was missing. I didn't know that it was missing. And then when we were going through COVID and forced to be at home, there was a forced, I would not have chosen this. This is what we're talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
But because it was forced upon me, I had a lot of realizations around that, okay, even though I'm interested in and excited about lots of things, my body and spirit actually need me to do more resting.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a balance that I would not have chased down myself. So that's one thing.
I think that's a great example, right? For myself, one of the thoughts I had is it teaches me patience, how to enjoy the simple things in life. And mm-hmm. so any experience that we have, in most instances, we can learn something from it. Mm-hmm. I know if for people that have felt exploited or mm-hmm. they felt by other people, there's things that we have, opportunities we have to learn there.
Yeah.
You know, opportunities to learn to trust your gut feelings. And if you had some bad feelings, or not to ignore red flags. I don't know if any other ones come up for you.
Yeah. Well, and definitely as well that in a world where we had access to a lot of distractions, I've noticed in my family, but also in my clients that people that knew something wasn't quite right for them for a while, and that they really needed to make a pretty substantial life change, like perhaps a career change.
Absolutely.
With the distractions removed, there was space to start to really see how important those changes might be.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Where, you know, we have a sense of when something is percolating and we might need to address it. But if we can just keep moving, we might not have to deal with that for a while. But COVID, I think, created an opportunity for a lot of people to say, okay, absolutely agree.
Yes.
Enough is enough.
Yeah.
I'm already in this place of unease. So yeah. Why not now? Why not take this route now?
You know, I mean, it's, I don't think post-traumatic growth denies the damage that's been done. It doesn't put any positive spin on the actual traumas themselves or the losses.
Yes.
But what it is looking at always redirecting every moment an angle of what you can get from this. Yeah. You know, I have one example that for myself, watching around the world and seeing a lot of things that has been happening, I think many people have been emotionally responsive and reactive to that. Mm-hmm. And also dealing with conflict. One of the things I have really had taken time to reflect on is, where's my lesson in not agreeing with certain things that people are saying or doing, and not having it create a lot of emotional distress, so that I can still have some level of equanimity and come to terms with what exists in this world. And so that's a kind of thinking style that is geared towards, let's say, seeing where there's an opportunity for some change inside of self.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have any other potential examples.
Well, I have so many, so
yeah.
I'm kind of keeping myself a little, you know, quiet.
Yes.
I talk to you about this forever and ever. But I think also what you just said is sometimes the phrasing of how we ask ourselves those questions can be really curious.
Yes.
So we might ask ourselves, if there was something to be learned here, what might it be? Not that there is for sure, but, you know, maybe.
Yes.
Or we can think about ourselves sometimes as if we're somebody else and say, okay, if that person who's going through that thing or who has been through that thing, what might they take away from that experience? Or what might they learn that would be helpful for them when they move forward?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of ifs and mights and maybes,
because
it kind of allows us to be curious and not stand our ground, but to just be a little bit more flexible about our thinking.
Cognitive flexibility is what you're talking about. And I think that is a very, 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 very important aspect of post-traumatic growth. I think it's very hard for us to grow in any kind of trauma if we have a rigid set of thinking styles that stops us from being able to look at a situation and re-narrate it or look at it in a different context. And sometimes I've seen people can get caught in an event and be rigidly attached to one way to look at it. And that sometimes can limit, I think, post-traumatic growth. So for people that are struggling and they're caught in a narrative that says there's nothing that can come out of this, there's no growth for me. Any thoughts you have about that, about how you can?
Yeah, that's a hard place. I want to acknowledge that's a hard place to be. I think we need each other.
We do. Yeah.
I just believe that as humans, we're designed to need each other. And so sometimes when we're stuck in those rigid thinking places, we don't even know that we are.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's the truth instead of one possible way of viewing things. So in those situations, although it can be scary or it can make us feel anger, I really think it's worth, in a perfect world, talking to somebody else about it. This does not have to be a therapist, but just just being able to talk out loud about it might help. And if that feels too scary, then try podcast, book, anything that at least allows you to take in a couple or more yeah. ways of thinking about things and just try them on. It's like new clothes. You don't have to just accept it because you heard it or accept it because you think it. We're allowed to think all kinds of things and not believe them. So just take in other perspectives and try them on and see how they feel. And if you can, talk to some other humans about it. Yeah. And if you can't, then at least listen to some other humans talk amongst themselves. And for me, that's when we're in that really rigid place.
I think it's
we need other people.
Ultimately, that's really important. I think that sometimes those feelings that they can have often in beliefs, rigid beliefs. I think one question I would often ask them is to recognize what is the impact of that those beliefs having on you. How are they affecting you emotionally and physically? If you do find that those beliefs are limiting and restricting your world, or they are contributing to a lot of emotional distress, recognize that emotional distress itself will have a negative impact on your life. Mm-hmm. And so there is really a lot of, you might have heard the saying, don't believe everything you think, because we are not unbiased creatures. And so I think it's important for us to be open, as you said, to other people's perspectives so that we can broaden our scope of thinking. And that is an opportunity, even if you're rigidly stuck in it, to go and talk to others, I think, is because, if you can ask yourself, if I'm stuck in this place, if this thinking and this way of meaning I put is keeping me feeling stuck, what can I do to move forward? That would likely be recognizing that where you're at is not serving you and not going to bring you to where you want to be, right?
Yeah, exactly. I love sayings, and so there's many of them, but I really like, if nothing changes, nothing changes.
Yeah.
If where I am in this moment isn't working for me, then something's got to change somewhere.
Absolutely.
And one of the clearest paths forward is with our thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think these are wonderful points. I'm not sure if there's anything else you want to add to what your thoughts are around this.
Well, when I was thinking about today,
yes.
and that question of, if you had a microphone, you could reach everyone in the world, what would you want them to know? Or yes. What would you say? My main mission is hope.
Yes.
Is that pain happens. Pain happens. And some suffering is inevitable. But I think that there's so much of the suffering that people experience that isn't necessary. And often it's just because they don't know any different. Yeah. So if you're going through something that feels unbearable or like nobody would understand or like it's never going to end, I just want people to have hope that they will get through it. Mm-hmm. And that once it's over, it can become one of those, one of the corner pieces of their jigsaw puzzle of life.
Yes.
That actually changes the trajectory of their inner and outer experience. Yeah. Even if right now it feels impossible, just take the very next step and hopefully they can trust that over time it will get better.
I think that's wonderful. I love that. That's a nice little concluding statement. And I would want to add to that. I think to reach out and remember to reach out because we can't, as Einstein said, we cannot solve a problem with the same mind that created it. And sometimes we need to share and receive insights from other people that might be able to guide us in a direction. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in line with that, I think sometimes it's amazing what insights we even have just by hearing ourselves talk out loud to someone else.
Absolutely.
We often have a lot of wisdom in there that when we're just going around and around in our own mind, we get stuck in a loop. But even just the act of speaking it out loud to somebody else, think, oh, we have their insights, but we also have our insights. I'm sorry to have jumped in there.
Oh, no, that's what we're here for. I love the conversation piece. That, you know, one thing I want also people to be able to walk away with here, I think an important question is always asking yourself what there is to learn from any negative experience. And sometimes it may be something as simple as I need to learn to be more accepting, or I need to learn to be kinder to myself. I need to learn to be more gracious or appreciative of the things in my life. If you don't know what your learning opportunity is, that's a great time to go and reach out to somebody. I think it's important for anyone to be able to recognize that we cannot prevent adversity in our journey of life. And sometimes things happen to good people. And what story and narrative and how you walk out of that experience. If you're feeling stuck, then it's time to reach out. But I will almost guarantee to anybody, I absolutely believe there's always that potential for post-traumatic growth in our lives when we go through adversity.
Always.
Yes. So thank you so much. I think this was amazing. And I'm hoping that people are going to tune in who've gone through some struggles, maybe get some insights from this. If I know you're in private practice and, you know, so you're here in Nanaimo and beautiful, beautiful BC here.
And speaking of COVID learnings.
Yes, absolutely.
I've had this most amazing opportunity throughout COVID to build a teeny little beautiful office right near my house. And so if people, I'm just so excited to share that with people. This this change that COVID has brought for me personally is
there's your post-traumatic growth opportunity, right?
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm always looking.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, I look forward to hearing about that. So we'll be talking about that. And thank you so much for taking the time. Maybe we'll have you on again. We'll think of another interesting topic related, but
It's
been great.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much. And I want to thank anyone tuning in to the show. Thank you for taking this time talking about post-traumatic growth today with Mikey Flynn, a registered counselor. Just want to wish you all the best and hope that as you encounter your adversities, you can ask yourself where there's an opportunity in that particular experience. Wishing you all the best. Take good care. Until next time.